Please pray with me real quick. Father God, we once again invite you into our time together. And as we worship and we study and we learn and we hear your word proclaimed, we dedicate this building to you. We dedicate this ministry to you. We dedicate all of our lives to you, and we give them to you fully so that you may do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine through the ministry of One Life Church as we seek to daily submit ourselves to you and partner with you in the work that you do. Holy Spirit, do what you do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. But when this building was first erected in 1965, it was built for a purpose. Everything that you see, every bone, every structure, every room, every design was put on the blueprint on purpose for a purpose. See, the original purpose of this space in 1965 was to be the hub or the home base, the place where the Penelec employees would come and they would do their work. For example, the dock that we see and the upper garage that is through those doors, they'd ship and they'd receive, and then they'd keep supplies and stock what they needed to go about their trade. On this garage floor where you're sitting, that when we purchased the building was just covered with oil stains and marks from 50 years of hard work. This served as a place where people would pull in their trucks and they'd do oil changes and PMs and all kinds of different mechanical work to make sure that they were ready to go out and do their jobs. The parking lot out here, where most of you parked, that was at one time fenced in, and the fence was repurposed to turn into these railings. But that was another a stockyard for more electric supplies. The offices down the hall that we have turned into nurseries and our offices and restructured the bathrooms, those offices all had a purpose. And they did things like, you know, they put a map up of their area and they pinpoint what jobs they have to do, and their employees talk about where they need to go for the day, and they dispatch kind of from that area. And then that's also, of course, the place where they would certainly, they would make those dreaded electric bills that we all love to get in the mail. Like, those came from down there. Some of you guys might have even come to that front door and paid your bill at some point in your life. That's what that space was for, and this was their hub. This was their home base for what they were all about. Servicemen would come here in the morning to get equipped for their assignments for the day. They'd stock their trucks, and they'd get everything they needed, the information and the supplies to go about their trade and to achieve the mission that they were on in their 40-hour work week. So for 40 years, this space was about keeping your lights on, keeping my lights on, and various other things within that. And for the majority of the last 15 years, this building sat empty, unused, dead, unwanted, useless, and without a purpose, but waiting for its next purpose. And at the end of this renovation project that I prefer to call repurposing, today, this building officially becomes a church. See, this building didn't become a church the day that we bought it. It didn't become a church the day that construction began, or the day that we carpeted, or the day that we put chairs in here. It didn't become a church even the day that construction was over. This building becomes a church the moment that you walk in. Because, you see, a church isn't a building. A building, as I've said, a building is a tool. A tool that can be used for various things and various purposes, but it's the men and women who come here to worship their God that make this a church. And from this weekend on, for as long as One Life Church meets here, this building is now repurposed for the glory of God, the fame and the testimony and the proclamation of Jesus Christ and his purposes and the repurposing of lives of those who are lost and broken and in need of a Savior. That is the new purpose of this space. That is the purpose of this ministry. And for those who come here, this is the hub. This is the home base. This is now where men and women will come here and they will worship, they will hear the radical, life-changing, yet unchanging, timeless, unadulterated, pure gospel of Jesus Christ to grow closer in their relationship with God, to grow deeper in their knowledge and their living out of Scripture, to be encouraged by others, to encourage others, to equip their minds and their hearts and their souls to go out of this place on mission in service for the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of church, and that's the purpose of our church, and that's the purpose of this space, to be equipped to serve God out there. Come here to get what you need and to worship and give back to God so that when you go out there, you're ready to be a light for Jesus Christ, to show a lost and broken people that God loves them, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus came to save them, and that it is by his grace and his power that him, both he and us, are in the business of repurposing lives. So I have a question for you today. See, it happens all the time. This is going to be a long road for me. It really is. I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever wondered what Jesus came to do? Have you ever wondered the purpose of Jesus' mission? If Jesus really truly came to earth and really truly died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead, why? Why did he come? Now, I expect that most of you, if not all of you, grew up in some aspect of rural America, maybe some from larger cities, but you grew up in America, and the name of Jesus for most people in America is not something new. You've probably heard a lot about Jesus, and being told even that you need Jesus might not be a new concept for you. In fact, you might be sick of it. You might be tired of it. I'm doing fine. Why do I need Jesus? What are you talking about? I'm sick of this. And that might be for good reason. I'm not going to tell you it's not. I know enough about church. I know enough about Christians to know that if you're sick of it, that's probably our fault. Because maybe all you've heard is the negative press of bad Christians misrepresenting Jesus. Maybe churches or pastors or priests have spent their time teaching you rules and teaching you mandatory perfection instead of love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and the joy that you can have in following a God that loves you and giving your life to him. So allow me to set the record straight this morning. Why would I do this? Why? Why would I take the time? Why do I ever take the time to try my best under the Holy Spirit's leading to be a mouthpiece for God? Because I don't want to be one of those bad Christians, bad pastors who misrepresents Jesus. And the last thing I want for you is to walk out of here today or ever when you come here and have a misunderstanding of Jesus and a misunderstanding of the purpose of this new space. That is never about me, never about our leadership, never about the name One Life Church. It is always about Jesus. Now, see, I'm not a big fan of arguing just for arguing's sake, or to prove my beliefs with my own crafty words. So instead, I prefer to let Jesus do the talking. So when you look at his own words, you'll find in Scripture that he's much better at defending himself and his cause than I could ever dream of being. So I like to go to Scripture. I like to go to his words. And First, let me start here. Just like I told you, Jesus is probably not a new name for most of you, whether you know him personally or not. The Bible is probably not a new thing or word for you either. So this is a Bible. And this Bible is big and it's scary to a lot of people. But let me give you a mini tour and then I want to read our scripture. The Bible is divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And each one of those sections is then divided into individual books or letters of men writing under the inspiration of God. And each one of those letters is not a story of man reaching up to God and saying, "Are you there? Are you there? I need you. Please, please exist." No. The Bible are letters of men who are telling stories of God reaching down to them, of God reaching down and saying, "I love you. I want to move in your life. I have a plan for your life. I have a plan for your nation. I have a plan for your church. I have a plan for your village. I have a plan for your family." The New Testament, the second half, which is actually like the smallest part, is everything that happened after Jesus was born and then after Jesus rose from the dead as the church was born. And the beginning contains four letters that are known as the Gospels, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, which is basically the eyewitness accounts of from men who walked with Jesus when he was on earth. It's that simple. They tell his story as they lived it. Jesus' life. So today, if you're a football fan, and this afternoon you're going to sit down and your big lazy boy with your 64-ounce Mountain Dew or maybe Pepsi or maybe you're into something like chocolate milk. I don't know what you do. But when you sit down and you're lazy boy and you flip on the Steelers and you watch them embarrass the surprisingly high-flying all about themselves, "Hey, wow, we've only lost one game, Dallas Cowboys," I want you to keep your eyes open whenever they're kicking field goals. And between those field goal posts, I can't promise you that it's going to happen today, but it happens a lot. Somebody's going to be standing there holding up a sign that says John 3:16. And that's all it's going to say. And a lot of people that don't know the Bible won't know what that is, but they know they see it all the time. But what that is directions or coordinates to find the most famous verse in all of the Bible. The most famous verse in all of Christianity, John 3:16. And I'm going to read for you John 3:16 and 17 because I think they complement each other in a really awesome way. It helps finish to tell the story. So John 3:16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel. This is the good news that Jesus didn't come to condemn us. God didn't send him to judge us. God didn't send him to tear us apart and say, "You are a sinner. I am done with you." He came to save us and offer us everlasting life, life to the full from the day that you believe forever. Because God looked down, the beginning of this verse spells it out. God looked down on a people, on a planet that he created, and he saw us living in absolute disobedience to him. Not living as he had planned, fallen deeply into sin, and he saw a world full of bad people living in sin, and instead of saying, "I'm done with you," he sent Jesus to save it. Now, mind you, this is God the creator. This is the guy who said, "Planet Earth, boom. Stars, boom. You, boom. There you are." And if he was looked down and he saw all of our evil, he had every right and every ability to wipe us from existence in the twinkle of an eye. In an instant, he could have said, "I'm tired of this. I don't need it." I'm just going to hang out up in here in heaven and eat my buffalo chicken dip all by myself because these people blew it. He didn't have to do any of this. But instead, he loved us so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross in our place. And I have a son now, and I know how hard, or I think I kind of maybe understand how hard that would be. So my question was, have you ever wondered what Jesus came to do? He came to save the world. He came to give us a way out. And before he returned to heaven, he established his church. And he established his church as a people who would proclaim his salvation to everyone. Everyone and anyone. Our verse says whoever. So whoever wants to, whoever hears the message and wants to believe, whoever hears the message and says, I like this, this is better than my sin, can say, hey, I am giving you my heart. I confess that I am a sinner. Thank you for conquering sin. Come into my life and repurpose me for the things that are of God. What does response look like? Let me show you what response looks like. If you hear this and you think, wow, that's why Jesus came? I thought he just came so Bill O'Reilly would have something to talk about or something to write about. There's a purpose there. Wow. So John 5:24 is, this is Jesus talking. This is Jesus talking again. Not my words, Jesus talking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into into judgment, but has passed from death to life. I'm not very good at reading out loud tonight or today. So for those who hear the word of God and respond in faith, will move from being spiritually dead to receiving eternal life, and their life is forever repurposed for the glory of God from the moment that they believe. It's a life of peace and a life of purpose from a Savior who asks us for our burdens, who asks us for our sin. He implores us, please come to me. I'm not going to make you because I want you to love me, but I want you to come to me and I will set you free. Because it's the only part of our lives that will outlive the physical. We're all on that journey, and he offers us an opportunity to move from death to life. He offers us life eternal, the only thing that will outlive here. And I want to tell you that the only reason I'm standing here today, the only reason that my life looks anything like it does today, and the only reason I even wanted to be here is because God took me, a dead, lost, bad, broken man, and through the saving power of Jesus, he repurposed my life for the things of God. And the leadership team of our church, same story. They are on mission with God because their lives have been repurposed for the things of God. Those who come to our church regularly, those who are members at this church, they come because their lives have been repurposed by God, because they have been reborn and set free. If it's not about that, if it's not about what God did in your life, church is never going to be fun. I don't care how much you like this space or how much you hate this space. I don't care if you're into the lime green or not into the lime green. You are not going to enjoy coming to church unless you allow God to repurpose your life. It's always going to be a chore. And it's always going to feel like a part-time job if you're asked to do anything at our church. God and Jesus and us are in the business of repurposing lives for the things of God. We're here. I'm here. Everyone involved in our church is here because God changed their life. That's what it's about. And that's the true joy that you can have in serving a God who gave everything for you. That's huge. So I want to wrap up with this. This is my conclusion. Now, research tells us that 90% of people start listening again when I say the word conclusion. Okay? So did you hear that? It's now time for the conclusion. Is everybody with me? All right. So as I conclude, gotcha? Okay. I want to tell you a story from Scripture, from the Bible, of a Samaritan woman at the well. And some of you may know this story. If you don't, that's okay, because I'm going to tell it. So Jesus and his disciples, they had been walking in the hot sun to a place called Galilee. They were tired, they were hot, they were absolutely thirsty. And as they were walking, they finally come up to a well. And while Jesus sits down at this well, his disciples leave him there, and they go into town to get some food for everybody. And while he's sitting there, a Samaritan woman comes over to get some water from the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink. Now, this woman was very surprised that Jesus asked her for a drink because, you see, Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. And this Samaritan woman, she was supposed to be hated by most Jews. Most Jews hated Samaritans because a Jew was 100% Jewish. A Samaritan was half Jewish, kind of a half-breed kind of situation where they like kind of pushed them to the side. You know, Native Americans have trouble with this, where if you're not fully or close to fully, then they kind of push you out. So Samaritans kind of got that kind of treatment. They were treated dirty, not worthy of conversation. But Jesus spoke to her. And he began to tell this woman things about her life that she knew that not very many people knew, like how she'd been married 5 times and the guy that she was living with right now wasn't her husband. This impressed her, right? Hey, this guy, I've never met him. He's not from my village. He has no idea who I am, but he seems to know my life. And she asked him, are you a prophet? Are you a big deal? What is it that makes you know this? Why do you know this? And she had a lot of questions for him. And even though Jesus knew her life, even though he knew her sin, instead of judging her and condemning her and saying, you're not worthy of my time, you're not worthy of my words, you're not worthy of my ear, he listened. He listened and he loved. And he made her feel loved. He didn't put her down for not understanding. He didn't put her down for living a life full of mistakes and disobedience to God. He listened and he loved a woman who was lost and broken and living in sin. And instead, you know what he did? He offered her eternal life. He offered her the opportunity to repurpose her life and start fresh. The opportunity to be washed clean, to be set free, to have a life that mattered again. Now, she was probably just living the life she was born into. She didn't make a decision to say, okay, so now I'm perfect, now I'm not, this is what I want to do. She probably just kind of was living her life, and this is what happened. Sometimes husbands come and go, or this is just what I do. She wasn't proud of it. She knew where she was sinning. He didn't have to tell her she was living in sin. She knew. But he listened and he loved her. And you know what happened? She immediately got up. I always read this. I'm like, why'd she leave so quick? But she immediately, the scripture says, got up and she went into town. Now, mind you, a town full of people that knew who she was. Many of them probably knew her lifestyle. Many of them probably knew her sin. And she went into that town and she told everybody, let me tell you about a man who told me everything I ever did. And he's the Savior of the world and he still loved me. He told me that I can have living water and I will never thirst again. I can have eternal life. He loved me and he forgave me. He repurposed my life today. And the people that heard her say all that, they believed because of what she said. even though they knew her life. And then after that, she went out and she met, and they went out and they met Jesus. And then they said, now we believe because we met him. So that's huge. To hear testimony and believe is one thing. But to meet Jesus and believe is life-changing. To allow God to come in and repurpose your life for his purposes. So if you've ever wondered what Jesus came to do, that's it. That's the power of the gospel, and that's the new purpose of this space, and that's the mission that One Life Church so humbly and respectfully partners with him on. To be a place that is always about his glory, always about his fame, always about making him known to a world that so desperately needs him, whether they know it or not. That is what we are in the business of doing, and we humbly join Christ in that arena. So tonight, as I wrap up, I just want you to know that I'm available to talk and the leadership team's available to talk, because if you are ready to ask Jesus to repurpose your life, to set you free, to begin a relationship with God that's going to carry you through this life and carry you into eternity, don't leave without asking him to repurpose your life. He wants to. That's why he came, to save us, change everything.